just remember the proofs, is that they're not only proofs that there is a God, but they're proofs based on a rational statement of human nature. And so if the proof is false, then, or you see what I'm saying? If you don't buy into the proof, then the underlying implication of the proof is the opposite, if that makes sense. For instance, if there is no God, there are no objective morals or duties. So if you believe there is no God, then ultimately you don't believe there's any objective morals or duties.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Salty Pastor Podcast, a podcast dedicated to helping you learn and grow in your faith. If you are not satisfied with the status quo, you can come here and get more out of your life and more in your life by listening to the Salty Pastor Podcast, because we want to push you to think for yourself so that you know what you believe and why you believe it. My name is Jesse Mayer. I'll be your host, but we cannot do this without the one, the only, the Salty Pastor himself, Dr. Douglas Peake.
Welcome, everybody. I'm glad you're on the Salty Crew. This last Sunday, a guy walked up to me and he said, "Hey, I think you'd like my hat." And what did it say on his hat? None other than Salty Crew. I was so impressed. So anyway, it was kind of fun. We're having a good time. I'm really glad that you're a part of this listening ministry, or this educational training coaching experience. We want to try to expand it, grow it. We want to dig into more things. I think it's necessary because the world in which we live is just getting more, I think, inundated with so many different ideas. It's hard to navigate. And so what you really want to do is be able to say, "Hey, I'm grounded and I know what I believe." And it helps me navigate all these different things that I'm constantly bombarded with. The other thing, too, is you can participate, because it's actually reaching new people. And we're really excited about that. So go over to our YouTube channel, and you could go to our website. You know, the website's going to be up here pretty quick. And Salty Pastor, what is it, saltypastor.com or .org or .net or .tv? .com, there you go, saltypastor.com. Is it the Salty Pastor, or
yes,
just Salty?
The Salty Pastor.
The, with a definitive article, the saltypastor.com. Well, I'm going to have to find a new way to say that. But go to our YouTube channel, The Salty Pastor, and you can like and subscribe. And so we want to see that continually grow. Since we've been doing this series, a lot of people, particularly atheists, have been watching. Our views on YouTube have gone way, way up. And I think that's because if they're watching, maybe they're watching, or maybe they're just looking at the titles, and then they post comments. And a lot of their comments, they're not very happy with some of the challenging things that I'm saying. So please join the Salty Pastor ecosystem and give it a thumbs up, like it, subscribe, and help us grow this ministry.
Yeah, we want to make sure that we're engaging with people that believe the same things, and we're challenging those who don't, because that's the only way you can grow your faith, and it's the only way that they could potentially even find faith, is by actually engaging in the conversation. So we're at the end of our series, The Five Proofs of God, and is he real? And my hope is that this series has strengthened your faith. Even if you didn't memorize every proof, you have the and you don't have the ability to recite it verbatim, that doesn't matter. You're at least going to know that there's a lot of really strong intellectual arguments at your back, that when someone comes up to you and says, "Hey, you're being irrational by believing in Jesus," or, "Hey, God isn't real, the science proves that," you can actually go back to them and say, "Actually, you know what? I heard about some arguments against this. Let me go look that up and I'll get back to you." And that's okay. You don't need to know the answer right there. You can just say, "I actually do have some things that I want to talk to you about." And you can go look these up, study them, and then bring them back. So I think it's just important to know that that they're out there. Yeah. That's half the battle, is just knowing that they exist. And that you can rationally, logically prove that there is a God with them. They're very powerful.
Yeah, you know, my intent for this entire series was twofold. Number one, I wanted to give people who have been followers of Jesus an overwhelming sense of confidence when it comes to their faith. I wanted to equip them with the intellectual tools to not only think for themselves, but to be able to rationally argue against the onslaught of people who are denigrating our faith, constantly saying, "Well, it's backward, it's irrational, it's scholarly untested." Well, you should now know with confidence this is simply false. Mm. And anyone who attests differently is simply a salty hot take liar. Because they know that they are lying. The other reason is because the greatest way to lead people to, trapped in the religion of secularism, humanism, atheism, naturalism, scientific materialism into a new life is by pointing out these proofs and then challenging them to rationally engage with them. Okay? Like a door into reality. Once you show that there are rational proofs that there is a God, it propels you down a path of exploration and discovery. They see a door where there wasn't one before, and they're in some ways compelled to walk through it. And it leads you to discover, once you start this process, well, maybe there is a God, it leads you to discover, well, what is the nature of that God? And once you discover the nature of the God, it leads you to discover who Jesus really is, in that what he said and what he did was true, which then leads to a life transformed by him and through him. And it's a very interesting pattern. You remember Rosalind Picard, Dr. Picard said, I was an atheist, then I was agnostic, then I became a theist, then I became a Christian. And what's fascinating is what she described is very common for all atheists, scientific materialists, who become theists. C.S. Lewis has the exact same path. He talks about how he was an atheist, and then he started kind of becoming an agnostic, and he talks about how one afternoon he got on a motorcycle, and then 2 hours later he got off the motorcycle, he said, I was a theist.
Mm.
He goes, I don't know exactly when, but when I got off, I was a theist, and then 2 years later, it took another 2 years, he became a Christian. And so it's a pattern, and that's why I thought it was so important for us to do this series.
Well, and I think it's important to, it's almost like a journey, right? Like those guys went on a journey of from disbelief to believing that there is a God to a relationship with Jesus, who is God, right?
Yes.
And so I think understanding they didn't just snap judgment. Oh, well, today I suddenly am going, hey, this is true, right? Like they methodically went through it. They looked for the evidence. They worked through it. And finally settled on, this is the most logical, rational conclusion I can come to. And then they start diving into, who is that person named Jesus? Who is God to me? And what is his nature and things of that nature? And I think that's just really cool, because we're all on a journey of some sort in our faith. And we just have to acknowledge that just because we don't have it all figured out, and we're not completely at peace about every aspect of it, we haven't figured it all out. That's okay, because even some of the smartest people in the world are still figuring it out, right?
Yeah. Well, we always have room to grow. That's
absolutely
for sure.
So what I think is interesting, though, is this journey of faith has become a lot more difficult, it feels like, in the recent years, because society is kind of on this hype train of like atheism, and it's become a predominant ideology that's really kind of forced people to fight an uphill battle that didn't exist as much before here in America, as far as just being a believer in general. Now it's sort of frowned upon to be a believer. It's thought to be irrational. And we've been basically fed this lie, or this idea that, well, under atheism, everything will be better because things were bad before, or there were bad things happening before. Therefore we have to try something different. So atheism must be the solution. So atheism will be the cure to all the things that ail us as humans.
Yeah, it's I think pretty much everybody has basically the Instagram version of atheism.
Right.
Right. And Instagram is always what? It's the highlight reel.
Yes.
It's never real life.
Yep.
And so that's kind of what is propagated, is that, well, these are the claims, and these are going to be the outcomes if everybody just did this. And I don't know if you just saw recently, but Richard Dawkins wrote a book called The God Delusion. He wants to convince people that believing in God is delusionary. He's one of these people that says that it's he denigrates it and mocks it and says people who believe in God are low IQ and it's just a delusion and all this kind of stuff. And so he just did an interview and he said, well, I guess, even though I'm not a Christian, I don't want people to believe in God anymore. He goes, I guess I should call myself a cultural Christian. He says, because I like Christmas and I like the hymns. And he goes, and now what I see is our cathedrals and everything in England being destroyed by Muslims and Islam. So I prefer Christianity to Islam any day of the week. And I just wanted to laugh. I just say, you're the one who created this that is happening there in your own country. And now you're like, oh, I got what I want and I don't like it. So here's a reality check when it comes to atheism and secularism, okay? And number one, atheism, let's define it, known as naturalism in the late 1800s, finally found its foothold in Western society in three basic ways. First of all, Darwin's Origin of the Species provided an answer to how human beings could have gotten here. Then Karl Marx provided a path to utopia, right? A form of heaven. And then Sigmund Freud, gave an answer to how you can deal with your guilt. And when these three things happened all at once, it sparked a broad-based movement of those interested in being free from the shortcomings of the state church and all of its corruption. The Church of England, Roman Catholicism, even Eastern Orthodoxy. The state church of Russia is Eastern Orthodox. At this time, America was only 100 years old. It wasn't an influential thought leader in any type of intellectual circles at that time, right? It was just kind of a budding experiment, see if it would work. And so if you're a thinker, you may ask yourself, well, why did this initial movement gain such ground so quickly? It must have been because it was true. Of course, the answer is not because it was true. It was because it was presented as a reform movement. If you look back in throughout Western civilization, particularly in regards to the influence of Roman Catholicism and then Protestantism, is that for 1,000 years, there's been a constant stream of reform movements. Why was there every order of monks, every abbey, every monastery? A lot of those were all reform movements because they were unhappy with the current state of the Catholic Church. The Protestant Reformation started out as a reform movement. Mm. And then since then, you know, the Church of England started by King Henry VIII. There's been all kinds of reform movements with just in the Church of England. There's reform movements in Eastern Orthodoxy. And what's interesting is this, is ultimately what people realized is that the reason there are so many reform movements is because Christianity had become a bureaucratic geopolitical entity. And it had a problem with corruption because the government constantly used religion for its purposes. Mm. And the whole reason that the Church of England was started by Henry VIII is because he wanted to annul his marriage and get marry another woman. So it was based on his lust.
Right.
Right. And so then, you know, of course, I think it was his daughter who was Bloody Mary. I think it was his daughter who was Bloody Mary. And then she said, no, we're going to go back to Catholicism. So she went through and started executing priests and stuff been a part of the Protestant Reformation. So, you know, you look back at that, and I mean, anybody with half a brain goes, boy, this didn't work. But it wasn't because of the religion. It wasn't because of the teachings of Christ. It was in spite of. And that's always a very important thing. Like, whenever you're doing statistics and data, they use two words. Is there a correlation or is there a causation? That's a huge deal to these people. And the reason why is because just because you have this data, It may look like there's a correlation, but it doesn't cause that. You know, like, for instance, you might say, well, here's a data point. I know that 1,000 people who ate carrots in 1807 died.
Oh, okay.
So they're like, okay, well, that's a data point. Yeah, everybody who ate a carrot in 1807 is now dead. Okay, but did they die from eating carrot or did they die from old age?
unable to say because all we have is the information that's presented.
Yeah, exactly. So you can't say there's a causal link between eating carrots and all of them are dead today.
But that's the kind of stats we get all the time these days.
Yes, it's all exactly. And you know, in science, it's very important to say, well, did this actually cause this to prove it? So in Christianity or in religion or in philosophy, you have to say, did these things happen because of these teachings or in spite of? And that's very critical because in Christianity, people say, well, there are Christians who committed violence. You're absolutely right. Was that because of the teachings of Jesus or in spite of? Was in spite of. And then some people say, well, Muslims commit violence, you know, just like Christians commit violence. Say, well, is that because of or in spite of the teaching? And then you read the Quran and you go, well, it was because of. And then when they commit these massive terrorist acts, they quote the Quran when doing it. And they also say Allah Akbar, which means Allah is greater than any other God. It's we truncate it and say, oh, it's just Allah is great. But that's not what it means. It means our God is stronger and more powerful than any other God. That's what that phrase means. So you have to answer the question, is it because of or in spite of? And what happened is we ultimately realized that the problem is that government always wanted to use the political leaders, which were monarchs. And at this time, guess what? All human beings were subjects of a monarch. Basically meant you were owned by the king, and the king owned everything. And so you were not a citizen with rights of a formation country. The only place that existed at that time pretty much was America, and it was just starting out. So therefore, this movement of naturalism appealed to the independent spirit, the heart of the explorer, to break free of this monarchical control and this control of the state church, to be free thinkers, right, to move forward. However, instead of taking the path our founding fathers took, who were all strong believers with an incredible knowledge of the Bible, this new atheistic naturalistic movement adopted usually communism or fascism. Just like the book Hunger Games. Do you remember where at the end the leader of District 13 was just as bad as Snow, right? And the hero, Katniss, is like, could see we're just trading one bad one for the next one.
Right.
And, you know, the person who captured this ethos was The Who. When they wrote that song, Don't Get Fooled Again, you know, the old rock group The Who, here are the lyrics to this song. He says, I'll tip my hat to the new constitution, take a bow for the new revolution, smile and grin at the change all around, pick up my guitar and play just like yesterday, then I'll get on my knees and pray, we don't get fooled again, we don't get fooled again. And then he ends the song with, meet the new boss, same as the old boss. And that was the problem. And I'm here to say that when it comes to the ideology of atheism, the new boss is nothing like the old boss. And if the old boss was influenced by Christianity, the new boss influenced by atheism is a disaster.
Absolutely. I think it's really important for us to take a look at what atheism is really, as they're now in, you know, quote unquote control, or they have a large portion of people fooled and following them.
Yeah.
And they're using various geopolitical sticks to beat things around with. Let's see what can you talk to us a little bit about what the so-called cures they've helped us institute are?
Yeah, well, I mean, just a short jump through history, but before I do that, just remember the proofs is that they're not only proofs that there is a God, but they're proofs based on a rational statement of human nature. And so if the proof is false, then, or you see what I'm saying? If you don't buy into the proof, then the underlying implication of the proof is the opposite, if that makes sense. For instance, if there is no God, there are no objective morals or duties. So if you believe there is no God, then ultimately you don't believe there's any objective morals or duties. So you can kind of rationalize to do whatever you want.
Right.
Number two, if there is no God, there is no first cause, meaning there is no meaning or purpose in the universe. So in the end, I can rationalize what I want to do because it ultimately doesn't matter, does it? So we become, this is a philosophical position called solipsists or solipism. and that is the only person that needs to be happy in the universe is myself. So this is why there's so much narcissism going on today. If there is no God, the fine tuning of the universe is not a rational pursuit. So science is no longer about a total commitment to objective truth. It's, well, like you said earlier, all the studies and data are just so warped and changed, and because it's like science is being used to prove a political point now, as opposed to what's actually objectively true anymore. Right. Number four, there or five, you know, if there is no God, number four, excuse me, math is a coincidence, which means you can take it or leave it. So if a person builds an ideology around the belief that there is no God, they can think irrationally as much as they want without moral restraint. They can ignore the impact of their ideology on human beings because human beings have no value. And this allows them to justify their delusion. When the Bolshevik Revolution took place, it launched the greatest slaughter of human life the world has ever known. All you have to do is read Dostoevsky's, Solzhenitsyn's The Gulag Archipelago, you know, and Cannibal Island. It's just one of the most incredibly evil things that you could ever imagine. And yet it happened with full support of the communist Bolsheviks, right? The Holodomor by Joseph Stalin. This is considered one of the biggest genocides that ever happened. And today it's amazing to me that people actually argue over whether it was an actual genocide or not. What happened? Well, Joseph Stalin confiscated all the grain from Ukraine. People ask, well, why are Ukrainians and Russians can't ever get along? Well, this is why. Okay. And what happened is he confiscated all of their grain because the Ukraine was the breadbasket that was feeding all of Russia.
Right.
And so he went in, he stole it, and then he starved. He wouldn't give them any more grain. And 10 million Ukrainians died of starvation. 10 million. How many Jews died in the Holocaust?
I don't know that number off the top of my head. 6 million.
6 million. So less than Ukrainians died prior. So it was, I mean, you think about these numbers. We're not talking about hundreds of thousands of people. The bloodiest war in the history of the United States, where we had the greatest loss of life, was the Civil War. 750,000 Americans died in the Civil War,
right,
on both sides. So we're talking 10 million. So think of the difference between those numbers.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's just keep going. When the Third Reich ascended to power, right, we all know how that ended. Well, you know, the 6 million Jews that died in concentration camps. When Mao Zedong unleashed the Cultural Revolution, they say between 30 and 50 million Chinese people died. The Khmer Rouge in Cambodia took over. A country of about 6 million people, they ended up killing almost 3 million people during their communist takeover. Can you believe that? Almost 50% of the population. These are massive outcomes, and they all originate from the ideology that there is no God. Now, today, what a lot of atheists say is that communism and atheism are different things. No, they are not. Atheism, the idea that there is no God, is an ideology that produces, it has a political wing, it has a cultural wing, it has a spiritual wing, it has all of these implications. And communism, socialism, and fascism, totalitarianism, are all political manifestations of the ideology that there is no God. Let's just get back into America, because it wasn't until the 30s when all of this atheism really started to take off in the United States of America. But Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, she was an avid supporter of eugenics. This is the same eugenics ideology that Adolf Hitler implemented in order to purify the Aryan race that would usher in the Third Reich, which was going to last for 1,000 years. It was all about eugenics, and it was a desire to get rid of inferior genetic things. This was Margaret Sanger's reason for starting Planned Parenthood. She was a well-known racist. She stated that she started the Negro Project in an attempt, and she says this, to eliminate the black population in America.
Mm.
And so Guess what? She was an atheist. Alfred Charles Kinsey was born in 1894. He is best known for his research on human sexuality. The Kinsey Reports became a staple of the sexual revolution in the 60s. He conducted research studies and published results. They were adopted by the secular culture. Even today, a lot of the stuff that you'll read in the federal government's national sexual education standards and stuff like that come from ideas that Kinsey put forth. But everything that he published has been debunked as absolute quackery. Why? Because he made pornographic films in his attic with research participants. He encouraged his researchers to have illicit sex and orgies with the people that they were studying. Even the leftist Wikipedia page states, most believe his research was driven by his own sexual perversion. Even they will admit that. And yet, what is happening today? Guess what? We are, I guess you'd say we are suffering from the ideologies that he has seeded into our culture, and they're still being adopted today. Oh, Kinsey was an avid atheist. He was raised Methodist, and he went to Harvard, and when he was at Harvard, you guessed it, he became an atheist. He was a bisexual man, he married a woman where they agreed to have sex whenever and with whomever they desired in order to stay married. Okay? Oh, let's keep going. Mallory Millett is the sister of Kate Millett. You might say, who is Kate Millett? Well, Kate Millett wrote a book in 1970 called Sexual Politics, and she's one of the founding members of the Second Wave Feminism National Organization of Women. Kate would invite her sister Mallory to the early meetings of NOW. And according to Mallory, she said each meeting would begin with a chant where the leader of the meeting would start by saying, why are we here today? Everyone would respond, to make a revolution. What kind of revolution? A cultural revolution. How do we make cultural revolution? By destroying the American family. How do we destroy the American family? By destroying the American or the American patriarchy or patriarch. How do we destroy the American patriarch? By taking away his power. How do we take away his power? By destroying monogamy. How do we destroy monogamy? By promoting promiscuity, eroticism, prostitution, homosexuality, and abortion. All of the founders of NOW were atheists. Betty Friedan, Kate Millett, the list goes on and on. So we say, oh, this is old. This doesn't matter anymore. Well, I don't know what your position is, if you're a listener of the Salty Pastor, on COVID-19 and what our nation did to deal with it. So I'm not going to render opinion on that. I have in the past. What I want to do is I want to talk about Fauci, who was the guy who was in charge of all of the policies and all the things that happened during COVID-19. So whether you believe he did a good job or not is not the point. What I do want to point out is some of the things that we actually have on record that has come out in congressional testimony, and this is verifiably true. Number one is he lied about the gain of function research at the Wuhan lab. He denied that this virus came from the Wuhan lab, and it has now been proven and accepted as fact that COVID-19 originated in the Wuhan lab in China due to gain-of-function research. That, the organization he was over in the federal government, had given grants to do. So we know that as a fact. Number two, we know that he lied about masks on three separate occasions. First, he said masks don't matter. And then he came back and said, yes, they do. And they said, well, why did you change your position? And he said, well, I didn't want a run on masks because we needed them for the medical community. Of course, what he didn't say is that the masks that people were using were not N95 masks. Only medical community uses N95s. So he lied there. And then he lied afterwards. And this is all on record about masks. The other thing he did just recently, and this was about 6 months ago, he admitted that when he mandated the requirement of 6 feet separation, do you remember when you'd go get a coffee or something like that? They had this big old plastic thing sitting up there, and they had little stickers on the floor that said you had to stay so many feet away from each other. Yeah. There were even people that were walking around with bubbles around them, or those pool noodles. They'd make these big things like, don't touch me, don't touch me, you know? He admitted, well, the 6 feet requirement was not based on any scientific research whatsoever. They just made it up. So we know that. It's like, okay, if you're in charge of this and you want people to trust you, you have to have integrity. How in the world can you say we should trust you when you do these types of things? Well, in his mind, it makes perfect sense. And it makes perfect sense in his mind to be this way because he is a self-proclaimed atheist. Here are some truth bombs. Let me drop them on you. This is really going to make me unpopular, but I'm going to say them anyway. The highest percentage of atheists in a single group is transgendered in the queer population, the T and the Q of the LGBTQ community. Child pornographers have the highest concentration of atheists among their members. Human sex traffickers have the highest percent of atheists than any other group in the general population. Communists, socialists, much higher percent of atheists than the general population. What I'm trying to point out here is that don't believe the Instagram reel of atheism. This is the real stuff, and that's what it produces.
Well, as we tie out this series and we're closing it up on Sunday, how would you like to see it end?
Well, I'd like people to understand that all ideas have ramifications, right? And atheism, the belief that there is no God, has severe ramifications across the board, and we're suffering from many of these things. As I stated from the beginning, the purpose of the Salty Pastor is not to tell you what to think. If you're an atheist and you're convinced there is no God, I'm not here to try to tell you to think differently. You've made up your mind. It's a conclusion you have come to. It's your life. You have a right to do with it as you see fit. But please, do better. Stop telling people that atheism is simply a suspension of belief. It is not. Stop lying to yourself that your position is more intelligent or rational than someone else's. Stop trying to shut people down, insult them, bully them, manipulate them, just so that you can feel that you're right. Pour yourself into something that makes the world a better place. For crying out loud, go and build a hospital or build an orphanage or start a school, you know, do something that makes the world a better place. Because up to this point, there are no hospitals, schools, or orphanages that have ever been started by an atheist or an atheist organization. They don't exist. Now, the other thing I'd like to say is if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, as I've stated over and over again over the years, the gospel of Jesus Christ doesn't address every issue that we face in life, okay? It's not going to tell you the best diet plan or whether fuchsia goes with taupe. It's not going to tell you that. It's not going to tell you the way to wear your hair, none of those things. It doesn't tell you the best, you know, advice on how to invest in the stock market. It doesn't. The gospel doesn't tell you that. What it does is it addresses the most important questions of all. Who are we? Why are we here? And what is the point of it all? It's important not to use the gospel in an inappropriate way. For instance, I've said over and over again that Christianity, all right, and the current form of government, constitutional representative republic, are not the same thing. And don't conflate them. Don't do that. However, because the reason you don't want to do that, there's nothing in the Bible about what form of government Christians are to set up in a society. The Bible doesn't say form a democracy with a constitution and a constitutional republic. It just doesn't say that.
Right.
Right. But what it does do is it says that if you understand who you are, why you're here, and what God has done for you, that's going to impact the way you think and the answers that you come up with. That's why I've always said is that the soil of Christianity is where the seed of the tree of liberty was planted and grew. And so all of the fruit that we have today, freedom of speech, freedom of association, you know, a hopefully blind justice, you know, equal justice under the law, all of these kinds of things, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. All of those fruit come off the tree of liberty. The tree of liberty grew in the soil of Christianity. And if you change the soil, guess what it does to the tree? It kills it. And we have to understand that. But don't conflate Christianity with the tree, right? So it's important to understand that. So in the end, I think it's really critical to understand is that on the one hand, our form of government isn't Christianity, but on the other hand, our form of government only works with what Adam said for a moral and religious people. And what atheism wants to do is it wants to change the soil in order to change the tree. And you can never forget that. And so that's what I wanted this series to be about, to let Christians know that you don't have to let the soil be changed. And you don't have to sit in fear or in a cower that you are somehow intellectually inferior to the people making these arguments. No, they just have a specific religious question. They believe it because they've chosen to, not because it's more rational than yours. And so you need to be able to articulate what you believe, stand up to it and say, you know, I love my way of life. I love the freedoms that I have, and I'm not going to let you take them away by forcing your religion of atheism on me.
All right. Well, thank you, Pastor, for sharing those things with us. I hope that's what people do walk away with. And I hope you guys join us on Sunday as Pastor Doug closes out the Five Proofs of God here at Foothills. And next week we'll be celebrating mothers. So that'll be exciting as well. So thank you guys so much for joining us. And we'll see you next week here on the Salty Pastor Podcast.
Hey, keep thinking for yourself and be salty.